Ephesians number chapter 4 and verse number 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then Psalm 133, verses 1, 2, and 3. And once again, this is a song literally sung in worship times. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Amen. Just want to take these moments this morning and send out a word of encouragement and challenge, hopefully, that to talk about the church and the power of the church when it's a united force. The power of the church that's united. I think one of the most challenging things for preachers, and in particular for pastors, is you see the potential of the church, but a lot of times it seems like it's always just kind of out of the reach of your grasp. You know it's there. You know you have the body of people. You know you have the gifts, the talents, the various people that God has placed in the body, and you know that the church has great potential. But many times it's a real challenge to see that it all come together and all of us are working together to accomplish the purpose of God. Because you see, in any time we get together in any service, including those that you shook hands with today that you may not have ever before, we are such creatures of routine that we walk in the door, we go straight to the place that we always sit in. And sometimes we know they're there, we may see them, we may even wave at them every once in a while. But I've talked to people many times and said, you know that little sister that comes or that person that comes on Sunday? And I've had people say to me, I think I know who you're talking about. I'm not real sure, but I'm pretty sure. I think I know who you're talking about. What would happen if we had 300 or 500 or 1,000 people here? We would be in a mess around here. We wouldn't be able to keep up with everybody. Do you know that in a service such as we are in here today, we've come together and there's so many varying circumstances in all of our life. We have our similarities and our likenesses, but we've got a lot of differences here. Differences in just how you've come into this meeting today. Some may not be feeling all that good. Some of you may be wore out and tired. Some of you may be troubled in spirit because of problems you have or needs that you have. Many times, if you had the view from the pulpit, I just wish sometimes I could somehow do a reverse and everyone could kind of just see what we see from the platform. And sometimes it's just pretty interesting what you see from the platform. But I do know enough about church life to know that people come into the house of the Lord and they've got all kinds of things going on in their life. And a lot of times, but you don't even know what your brother's experiencing, your sister's experiencing. And to imagine that we could all come together and we could all bind together and accomplish something for the glory of God in a meeting when we got all kinds of varying circumstances and problems in our life. It's sometimes quite a challenge. And then add to that the fact that I have been here over 17 years. And I have kind of a low, soothing voice. And I look out many times and a lot of you are in a daze. You're kind of staring at me or out into somewhere. And you're either distracted by your problems or just old Vern has kind of put you into a daze. I don't know what it is. But our service is what's so unique about the the people of God and the family of God is that we can have all of this diverse stuff going on in our life, and we can come together, and if there is the work of the Spirit, that is what tends to bring us all together. The working of the Spirit, the moving of the Spirit in our lives, it tends to cause us to set aside all these other things and to get our minds fixed upon the plan of God and what God's wanting to say to us, and He can accomplish some wonderful and some mighty things among us. Amen. By the power of the Spirit of God. And so we live in such a divided nation right now. Now, I don't know about you. This is a real burden to me. I this is on my mind a lot. I don't think that this nation has been this divided, at least from my own personal understanding, for 150 years, since Civil War days. The nation is just divided. They say that the Congress, the approval on Congress and what they're doing is at 12% now. That means 88% of Americans say they don't like it because everybody in Congress can't get along. They can't agree on anything. They don't even agree on things that they really agree on because they're playing politics. And so they don't want to give a vote one direction because they don't want to give in to the other side. And so right now, hardly anything can get accomplished. As far as lawmakers are concerned, there's such division in politics, division in our nation socially. There's a division that's just really concerning. And we can expect that in the world, but that's not the way it's supposed to be in the church. That's not the way it's supposed to be in the body of Christ. And we lose out on the wonderful, wonderful provision that God has given to us by His Word and His Spirit to bring a lot of diverse people and bring us together under the banner of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and we can get some things done for the glory of God. Amen. Paul said there in Ephesians chapter 4, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's an interesting word, the word endeavoring. It means to work hard, intense labor. I really do believe that because of all the things that we have going in our life, and some of you right now, you've got tomorrow on your mind, you've got family on your mind, some of you are even thinking about lunch and what's going to happen at lunchtime. We got so many different things on our mind that how is it possible that in just 30, 40 minutes during a service like this morning, that we could ever get our minds together and that we could ever really see something accomplished for the glory of God? I can tell you that it can only happen if there's a work and a move of the Holy Spirit. If there's an anointing and a move of the Spirit of God that will bind us together. And the word there, endeavoring, means working hard at it. Intense labor. The Apostle Paul was talking to the Ephesian church. And they were a mixture of Jewish converts and Gentile converts. They both had such varying backgrounds, it's a wonder that they could ever get anything done. But they did. And God did use the Ephesian church, and it grew, and many, many were affected by the mighty work of that church at Ephesus. Even though they had such differences in their background, they came together. And I have to say that when Paul said, you're going to have to work at this a little bit. You're going to have to put some labor into this. You're going to have to set aside some of your preferences and some of the things that you really think might be important. And I'm not suggesting that you lay aside the principles of the Word of God. I'm just simply saying that a lot of times we come together and we can't get together because we have our own agenda and other things that are on our mind that we think are more important than the work of the kingdom of God. The only way that we can ever do what the Lord wants us to do is we got to get together on this. We're going to have to work hard at it and to be filled with the Spirit and to get our focus and our attention upon the things of God. Put some labor into it, intense effort into it, and focus your attention upon the things of God. What could be done if we would just all get together? Amen. The little Peanuts cartoon. I saw one time where Lucy comes in and Linus is in control of the TV remote, And she demands that he change the station. And he doesn't want to. And he says, well, why do you think that you can tell me what to do? And she holds out her hand like this. And she said, when these five do this, and she doubles up her fist, that's what gives me the authority to do that. And he hands her the remote. And then he opens up his hand and he says, why can't you guys ever get together? It illustrates, doesn't it? A lot of times in church work and the ministry of the church, especially in times right now when we've got so many different things going in our life and we're, you know, so many directions, there's a work that needs to be done right here at First Pentecostal Church. There's a work that God wants us to be, he's called us to accomplish. And the only way that it's going to be done is that everyone from the preacher to every father and mother, every grandfather, grandmother, every young person, every young adult, all of us, we just need to pull together. We all need to get together. Let me tell you, there's a lot that can be accomplished when we get together. Amen. And I just pray that God would do a work of His Spirit among us, such a level of revival in us that we would just bind together and begin to move forward as a force for God. That's the power of the New Testament church and what it can be. Now, David, in this song, he talks about unity in Psalm 133. And he gives some of his own insight into how wonderful unity is and what it really is. As I said, this is a song for worship. And then he says, behold, it just literally means what the word says. It just means look at it, look around, see. You, this is something that you can see happening. Unity is not something that's abstract. It's something that there's a reality to it. In unity, you can see it actually happening. You can see God working as you are coming together. Others, I love music, and I love music when there's beautiful harmony and voices are harmonizing and instruments are all blending together. It's wonderful. And there's hardly nothing more horrible than music when nothing is blending together. We were in a service not too many years ago, and Brother Bill Finley was sitting behind us, and there was a choir singing, and the instruments that they were playing, the accompanying instruments, were in a completely different key than the singers. And I was just, it was really getting to me there. And Brother Finley leaned up to us, and he said, I don't know what's going on, but something's wrong, isn't it? He didn't know anything about music, but he said, what's wrong? What's going on? And that's exactly how that we ought to feel whenever we see the work of the church. That ought to be, we ought to be blending together, working together, cooperatively working together. It ought to be like sweet music around here. Amen. The blending of the work of God, everything, all of us finding our place and using our gifts and being a part of the advancement of the kingdom of God. That's the unity of the Spirit. And that causes the church to have tremendous power and influence in our world. Hallelujah. David said, behold, this is something you can see. He said, you can see it and it's good. It's good. It's a good thing. He said, how good and pleasant. It's describing something that's rare and something that's really desirable, something that's really valuable. It's good and it's pleasant. The word means something that's beautiful or attractive. When people see it, when they behold it going on, when they see the church working together, moving together, advancing together, then the world views that, they see that and they say, wow, that is amazing. It is such an attractive thing because, as I've already illustrated, the world out there is so divided. It doesn't matter where you go in the business world or in any other type of circumstance in our world today. There's such division and upheaval but if you can find people that are working together and united together, it's amazing, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? Thank God for Chick-fil-A. Amen. 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 I don't know if you saw the little YouTube video, but a CFO of a company had his phone and he was in line to get his free water and he was going to talk to the people. How many of you saw that? And he said he was talking to his phone, the video, and talking about how this was a business filled with hate. And he said, I'm going to get up to the window and they're going to give me a free water. I'm not buying anything. I'm not going to. And so he gets up to the window and this little girl's standing there. And she said, it's my pleasure to serve you. And he's just berating her and talking about how could you ever be associated with this business? And I tell you what, as I watched it, I thought, what is going on here? And he put that on the web. That's a dangerous thing to do. He put it out there. And you know, what was so interesting is that the board of the company that he worked for as their chief financial officer, they saw that. They were so incensed at his attitude toward them. He was talking about how hateful that business is, and it was just spewing out of him, his attitude of hatred toward them. And this poor little girl, she's just doing the best she can. She's staying calm and has such a good attitude about what is being said. Now, here's the good thing about this story. Later on that day, that board of that corporation met and they fired the CFO. Praise God. Amen. When I read that, I just thought, that's the most wonderful thing I can imagine that could happen to that guy. He got fired. But let me tell you, honestly, I don't want to sing the praises of that restaurant because I'm not really that big of a chicken eater. But when I go in there, I'm pretty amazed at the way that they just jump all over themselves to help you and to serve you. I'm impressed by that. And so somewhere along the line, there's some values there and some character there and some training that's gone on. And it just, man, that place, it moves. And it's successful. And that's the way it ought to be among Christian people, Christian business. It's the way it ought to be in the church. And among the people of God, that we're just moving together, cooperating together, accomplishing the plan of God. Amen. It takes intense work and effort to see that happen. How good and pleasant it is. It's a rare thing. The word good there means it's rare and desirable. The word pleasant means it is attractive. Something very desired. Amen. The church ought to be a place where the power of God is experienced and realized, and it is so because we're all just working together. We're all praying together to accomplish what the Lord wants us to accomplish. Amen. It's good, and it's a pleasant thing. How good and pleasant it is for men to dwell together in unity. And then in verse 2, he says, it's like precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. Now, he's comparing unity not to just the experience of the oil flowing down his head and all down his garments, but to the fact that with this oil poured out like that in such abundance that there's this aroma that just is everywhere. It's like that ointment that they use to anoint the priest. That it's like an aroma that and the scent of it that is a sweet aroma that affects everyone that is around. There's nothing more of a reproach than a church that's divided and a church that has three or four different agendas at the same time. But there's nothing more glorious and wonderful whenever the church is united and we're praying together, we're pressing together, we're believing God for souls to be saved, for the divine work of the Spirit of God among us. What a glorious, sweet aroma that is. Amen. When we worship together and when we come together, that's what it is. It's like a sweet aroma. Amen. Glory to God. It's like that oil that flowed down upon his beard and that holy anointing oil that was prescribed by God. If you remember going back there to, I believe it's the book of Exodus, where that holy anointing oil, there's the exact ingredients that are given and how it's to be prepared, this holy anointing oil. And it is something that is specific, that has been designed and created by God, and then it's poured out as an anointing oil upon the priest. And so it's not just a sweet aroma, but it's a holy thing because it's God's divine blessing. Hallelujah. Praise God. An anointing of the Spirit of God that is just, it just is evidence of God's blessing upon the work of God and upon the church of God. It's a holy thing when we come together and we sing together and we worship together and we work together. It's a glorious and a wonderful thing. It's the most wonderful thing this side of heaven. Amen. What can happen in the church? It's a precious ointment. And so it's a sweet aroma, and it's a holy thing prescribed by God. And also notice that this holy oil, it's flowing. It flows down. It's for everyone. It's just flowing. Everyone is affected by it. Everyone is touched by it. I've witnessed this many times in meetings, church services, where the Spirit of the Lord was just working and moving in that place. And I would look out and see people that weren't maybe a visitor, maybe didn't know about God or know anything about the move of God or Pentecost, and tears are running down their face. They don't know what's happening to them. They just sense the sweet aroma. They know that something holy is going on in that place, and it's just flowing. And everybody around them is affected by it because of the nature of this holy anointing, that it flows down upon everyone, and everyone is affected all around us by this wonderful anointing oil. That's what he's comparing unity to. So when the church gets together, when they're unified under the banner of God's word and the Holy Spirit of God, then it's just like that anointing oil that sends out a sweet aroma, and everyone around us is affected by it. Hallelujah. Amen. Everyone feels it and experiences it. Verse 3, so he gives the comparison. He says it's good. He says it's pleasant. He said it's like that anointing oil. And then in verse 3, he says it's like the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Apparently, this higher elevation, this Mount Hermon region, the highest elevation, that even in the driest of seasons, they say that travelers, that their tents would be soaking wet from the dew, even in the dry climates when there was no dew anywhere else. The dew apparently is so heavy in that region, the mountain region of Hermon, it's so heavy that literally it trickles down the side of the mountain. That's a lot of dew. But it just trickles down the mountain, and the lower elevations are affected by it. And it's describing that, he says, this unity of the Spirit, when brethren dwell together in unity, it's like Mount Hermon, that even in the driest season, that it's got a flow, that it's affecting everything down below it. It descendeth upon the mountains of Zion. And we know that that's the place of the city of God. That's the place of the temple. And that's the place where all the sacrifices take place. And the scripture here says, the psalmist says, and it's there that the Lord commands blessings. Hallelujah. Right out of the throne room of God, right out of the blessing of the Lord, there in Mount Zion, it flows down. And so he compares this unity and the unity of the Spirit to that it just flows down from the highest to the lowest, and everyone is affected by it, and from that, God sends forth blessing, or commands blessing. Hallelujah. Even life forevermore. As we know that out of the city of God, that's the place of Jesus. That's the place of his crucifixion. That's the place where Jesus' ministry ended there. And all that we have the benefit of through the cross and through his death and burial and resurrection, all centered in that. And it's there that the Lord commands blessing and even life forevermore. You know, people will be affected, their lives will be changed, and people will even be born into the kingdom of God when there's a church that's receiving the blessing of the Lord and is anointed of God's Spirit, life
is going to be there. Life is going to be there, and there are going to be people that are going to come to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I've been around the church all of my life. It's really, I don't hardly know anything else about the church. I know that we're not perfect. I know we all have our weaknesses, and we all, you know, every one of us could step up and get closer to the Lord and do better than we're doing. Every one of us could. Amen. I've just confessed that I could, so y'all need to confess you could too. Amen. We all need to move forward and press more into the things of God. And we need to be united together. And the only way that that takes place is if there is a work of the Spirit of God among us. Hallelujah. Amen. So when we come together to worship the Lord, the psalmist is saying, oh, this is a good thing. This is a pleasant thing. It's like an aroma that fills the room. There's such power and unity that is there when we come together, that in that place, that it's so powerful that's a place where God begins to command blessing and send blessing, and he begins to give life to those that are in need of a spiritual touch. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So what we need, and I'm grateful for all the advantages that we have right here at this local church. I mean, we're really blessed in a lot of ways. We have a wonderful location right here in the heart of the city. We have a wonderful facility. We've got lots of room here, and we have a great potential and a great capacity. What can make a difference? What could make the difference right here at this local church? I'm convinced the thing that would make the difference more than anything among us right here, the thing that would make the difference, and that is if we would just really begin to put up some intense effort to work together, to bind together, to be used of God, and to find our place in the work of the kingdom of God, and we begin to put some energy into it and to pour some life into it and see God working by his Spirit in every one of us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's the church that is going to experience power. It's one thing for the preacher to get filled with the Spirit fresh and anew, and I do need that very much, but it needs to take place among every one of us here. Every one of us. Every one of us. And then we'd see the potential. And when you can look around and see the potential of all that are part of this group, I'm telling you, there's some wonderful things that God has in store that he wants to do that'll never take place if we just kind of live out, you know, we've got our own plan, our own agenda. We'll just do what we want to do instead of uniting together with a common purpose. That's the advancement of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we do that, then there will be power. Then there will be an anointing. The presence of God. Then God will command blessing. And God will send life into our midst whenever we experience this wonderful unity of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Father, we thank you for the wonderful truth of your word. And we thank you, Lord, for this group of people. Lord, I know that each one of them individually are valuable. Each person here, from the youngest to the oldest, Lord, they have a place in the kingdom of God. And they're never really going to be fulfilled or happy in their life until they find that place, Lord, where they can be used of you. And I just pray, Lord, that each person in this building today would determine that they're going to work harder at it. They're going to put some intense effort into this. And they're going to begin, Lord, to place themselves, Lord, in a position where they can be available to you. Lord, do a work here today. Do a work in the lives of people. If there are those here among us today that don't know you, Lord, Lord, help them to see that you have just this wonderful, wonderful purpose in their life. And they can only see that become a reality if they're willing to humble themselves and call upon you, Lord, as Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.